Hello, we've got with us in our studio today Anjum Anand, the face of Indian cooking. Well, I can say all over the world, but in UK and Australia for sure. And she's been travelling around a lot talking about food. So welcome to our studio, Anjum.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kumar. I always love coming in.
It's a pleasure to have you and to learn more about your recipes and your passion for food. So you've written 8 books on Indian cooking.
Yeah, this is my 8th. And I have to say, I think it's my favorite out of all the 8 because it's the most personal book. And it's also all my favorite proper Indian recipes in one place.
And you call it I Love India.
You know what? And because you'll feel the love through the pages.
I can already sense it, and I can get the aroma of the lovely Indian food. So this is authentic Indian food, or is there a twist or a bit of fusion in it?
So I suppose with this book, I wanted it to be the most authentic, so that this is the Indian book Bible. So if you want to cook a really great Hyderabadi biryani, this is the book to come to. If you want to cook proper chaat or proper samosa where you don't buy the pastry, you make the pastry, this is the book. But I have to say, there are also some of my own fusion things. So for example, I have like a summer chapter. Because we love eating outdoors in the West.
Yes.
And so we have like some tandoori food, but I do a little fusion. So I have like a really lovely sweet potato salad. Now, I remember when we'd go to India, you'd have those roasted whole sweet potatoes and they'd cut it up and make a chaat.
That's right.
So I took that as inspiration and I grilled the sweet potatoes and then I made like a dressing and I added some chaat masala to the dressing. So it's all Indian inspired, but sometimes I want to do something which I think people will eat now as opposed to maybe what we would have had then on the streets.
So you really sound passionate about the Indian potatoes. Mm. Tell me about your passion for this book from the time you wrote it till it came out on the shelves.
Well, so, you know, when you write a cookbook, you're completely immersed in it. I mean, I sometimes think I write it through winter and when I hand it in, that is spring because you spend your whole time in the kitchen and I think a lot about my food. So I'm quite, so I'll think, okay, I want to do something, for example, with the sweet potatoes. And literally, it'll just sit in my head until I figure out what I want to put in it. You know, how is this going to be interesting? But how is it going to be simple enough for everyone to want to cook every day? So the passion for India was there before, but I've really enjoyed writing the book because it takes me back to memories I've had from when I was young, all my visits to India, but recent visits as well where I've managed to go to India for work and try really lovely local regional foods and think to myself, okay, I know that everyone in the West will really enjoy this and they don't know about it. So the passion is always there, but it was even more exciting when I knew it was all coming into a book.
Tell me, what is one peculiarity of Indian food which makes it different from all other foods?
It's just the spices. You know, you have lentils in different countries. You eat every type of protein in different countries. You have rice, you have breads, everything. So I always think the one thing that makes it Indian is the blend of spices.
Now, I'll ask you a difficult one, and don't say it's difficult.
Okay.
What's your favorite dish?
Yeah, that is not difficult. That is impossible to answer. It's like asking me to choose from my books or my kids, but because it depends what mood you're in. It depends what the season is. It depends if it's summer. Like, I love tandoori food. If I go to an Indian restaurant, I eat just tandoori food, roti, and maybe dal. That's it. But when I'm at home, if I have been away for a while, I'll have some dal. If I miss my mum, I want that kind of food. You know, winter, summer, it all plays a role.
So your emotions trigger your need for a particular type of food, I guess.
Yeah, emotions and mood. You know, you just know, today I want something, you know,
pungent.
A bit like this. Exactly.
Yes.
Or, like, I love all the street food of India. So recently, over the last year or two, when I have people coming over for dinner, instead of making lots of curries, I make just lots of street food because
sure.
I like that kind of tapasy, crunchy, don't eat a big meal at night thing. So, we all go through phases and then we change what we feel like eating.
True. We also have chaat parties out here sometimes, you know, pani puri and ragda patties and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, in this book, I notice you've got recipes from various regions of India.
Mm.
So tell me, how much does the taste of food and the spices differ from one state, say from the north to the south?
It differs a lot. And actually, India has two main, I think, influences in the food. So one is what you grow. So the geographical differences between north and south are vast. So in the north, they have a lot more dairy. They have more grains. They have they'll grow apples and ingredients I'll see in England. Whereas in the south, you don't have a lot of dairy, you don't have a lot of grain. It's very rice and lentil based. And of course, there's lots of seafood and all the rest of it. But so, and the curries are lighter because they've got to coat the rice. Whereas in North India, we'll just scoop up a thick sauce with the gravy, with our rotis or whatever we eat it with. And you'll have bananas and the fruit will vary. Some of the vegetables will vary. And, in the south, you'll have curry leaves and coconut, which you don't see, in Kashmir and Punjab. And again, in Bengal, you have lots of mustard. You have a huge mustard influence. So a typical Bengali dish will be, machar jol, which is like a fish stew and rice. And that's an everyday thing. The second main influence on Indian food is, of course, the colonizers. So, in Goa, you have the Portuguese influence. Across India, you have the Mughal influence that came from the north and has gone all the way down to the south, from Kashmir to Hyderabad. You'll see that Mughal influence. So in the book, I did make a trip to Hyderabad 2 years ago, and I said, I want to taste the Hyderabadi biryani in Hyderabad. Mm-hmm. I don't want a chef to make it for me, his version. And I ate Hyderabad. I ate this biryani 6 times in 3 days.
Oh, like, wow.
Every restaurant we went to, I said, do you have the biryani? Bring the biryani. As well as a few of the other kind of main things that they talk about when you go to Hyderabad. And then we were invited to someone's house for dinner. It was Eid. So he had this big party and he invited us along. And he was a local Nawab. And he knew I was there because I have a fascination for food. And he's a local foodie. And they came out with this huge... typical biryani dish. It has a shape to it. So it's big on the bottom and small at the top, so the steam doesn't come out too much.
Lovely.
And of course, with the Hyderabadi biryani, you wrap the whole thing with dough to seal the lid to the dish. Yes. And they literally came out with a sword.
No.
And sliced off the lid, and then the biryani aroma fills the room. Now, it was such a fantastic moment. But the food there wasn't spicy at all.
All right. Otherwise, we feel the Hyderabadi Andhra Pradesh food is very hot.
Exactly. So Andhra Pradesh is one of the hottest foods in India. And the Hyderabadi food is one of the mildest. Because the Nizami food, because they have such strong Turkish, Mughal links and influences, that their food is massively flavorful, but you'll never taste any heat in anything. So it's a really fascinating place to kind of talk about food and history, actually, India, because you see it even today. You learn a little bit about the history on the streets of the country.
So talking of Hyderabad, did you have Shahi Tukra over there?
I had Shahi Tukra. I had that apricot dessert. God, I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically stewed apricots. And I went there and I was like, why is this special? And it turns out that you don't actually have apricots in the south of India. So they would dry the apricots, the Mughals, and then they would bring them. So they kept it at its most pure just by stewing it. And actually his wife had made these lovely, they had made Shahi Tukra, but they also had made wonderful other bread pudding.
Yeah.
And then they have this apricot dessert, which I actually have put
double
in the book.
Double roti kamita.
Is it double roti kamita? Exactly. By the way, I had 5 of those in 6 days. That was my favorite.
I can't believe it.
I promise you. Everyone looked at me like, this is a glutton. But I was like, bring everything. I need to taste everything. I'm only here for 3 days.
Well, I promise you, I guess you must have just tasted it because you don't look like a person who's had 5 helpings of double roti kamita.
No, we didn't have the whole thing.
Just a bit of a taste.
We tasted everything, but enjoyed everything, to be honest. I love eating Indian food in India. And so that's what made this apricot dessert so interesting, is because they literally transported the apricots from where they grow outside of India to the Mughals in the South India and rehydrated them in a lovely stock syrup. So that recipe also came into the book. But to make it more interesting, I added some phyllo shards and all sorts of great stuff, because I think we like desserts to be more complex.
Right.
But it's lovely to go to the place of origin.
Absolutely. I guess your book includes all these kinds of recipes, right?
Yes, absolutely. I've been really lucky to eat my way through most of India.
How different do you think Indian food overseas is from the authentic Indian food in India? Is it very different?
It is a bit, actually. I mean, especially if you talk about the typical Indian restaurants, most of those for me are based on what we would call Mughlai food.
Yes.
And therefore, it's enriched, it's richer, it's not as clean flavored as perhaps some of the food we would cook at home. My mother would make like a chicken curry, but then there would be jeera chicken, with cumin, and there'd be black pepper chicken, and there'd be yogurt chicken, Whereas if you go to an Indian restaurant, you don't have clean flavors.
It's korma.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's all a bit murky.
Yeah.
The spicing of it is a bit murky and the flavors are a bit murky. So I do think there's a difference, but I do think it's getting better. You know, especially in the UK, I see there's a lot more regional cooking going on because people have now understood that there's more to it. And also coming to Australia, I mean, I've been coming here 5 years now, I think, or four. And every time I come, I talk about lovely regional Indian food. And this trip I came and I had an event in Melbourne and people said, oh, I made your so-and-so dish from your last book, which was regional. And it's great because it means people are actually interested in listening and starting to cook. And that's the beginning of the change.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Anjum, today.
Thank you, Kumud, for having me on.
Do we hope to see you next year again?
I hope so. I look forward to my trips to Australia. I wish I could come out more often.
Thank you so much and see you again.
Thank you.